Justin, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Good morning.
Your work has been described as a carnivalesque garden housing imagined exotic, in inverted commas, medicinal and dangerous species. What is your work, Eon Totem Arum, commenting on?
Well, I guess for the last 10 years, I've been building on this body of work called Phasmahammer. I've been performing between nightclubs, theatres and galleries, and a lot of the seeds of the work come from nightlife practice. I have a body of work which is kind of, I kind of describe it as a bestiary. So it's a collective of mythical beings that I articulate through my body. And the myths come from ideas that are imagined, as well as ancestral myths. So I have my matrilineal line in the Philippines, and I also work within a collective club arte with my sister Benji Ra.
Love Benji's work.
Fucking force. So it kind of like really stems from a history of collaborative practice and myth making and storytelling, mostly in the queer and diasporic spaces of Sydney, and it's kind of traveled out from then. But Eon Dagger was seen, I guess it kind of started off last year. Eon suggests something boundless. Dagger is the symbol placed next to something, like it's like a taxonomic symbol when something becomes extinct, a species. So it's kind of thinking about the times we live in, this feeling of loss but also hope. And I've made a lot of work that's pretty it kind of is a space to mourn, but it's also very playful, and the work for the National is definitely that. So I've been, a couple years ago I went with Benji to the Philippines, and we spent, like, I go back a lot to see my cousins and family over there. There's this festival called Mascara, which is in Bacolod.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just blown away by the pageantry and the way that it really connected to my own cabaret and queer histories of spectacle, and how you can use that as a way to lift people's spirits. And, you know, like, I'm obsessed with craft, and there's a real magic in transforming really trashy materials like lacquer and sequins and like very easily found material and turning it into something really, I mean, it's kind of like a real queer tool of subversion, and also from like, just like from using what you can access. So we created, me and my long-term collaborator and partner, Matthew Stegg, have created this kind of like an inflatable garden that exists as on its own, but then I also pop at these beings. And then over the series of the next 5 months at the gallery, I'll do a series of performances on Wednesday evenings. Yeah.
Beautiful. And when I saw your work, I felt like I was underwater. And I overheard a bunch of school kids saying, I want to touch it. So yeah, and your soft sculptures are almost breathing.
Oh, they're definitely breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a collaboration with also Fausto Brusamolino, who's this incredible lighting designer and vision designer. And he, you know, like, I don't want to like reveal all the mechanics, but there's definitely a lot of technical elements that give you the sense that this thing is alive. It's the kind of the first time that we've made a work that I've had to, you know, often it's like, oh, I make a theater work, and then you put the stuff in a gallery and it sits there. But this time it's like, how do we really design something and a space that's immersive and alive that can, the provocation was also like, how can it continue to evolve? And I can keep building on it for the course of the exhibition. So,
yeah. And who, what inspired the soundscape that went with the sculptures?
So the sound is a collaboration with Karina Leto, who's totally sublime. Visionary artist. We've been working together for like the last 5 years. Gosh, my provocations to her were around Ghibli. So like thinking about fantasy and the music that evokes a sense of mystery, but also darkness and light at the same time. And that's what I feel like the soundtracks in Ghibli films really capture. I was also watching Angel's Egg, that anime film.
Great film.
So that was like something I gave to her as a reference. We were looking at cellular sounds. We recorded a lot of my voice and transformed it into and pulled it apart to create the voices of the creatures. Mm. I'm also going to work with more live sound as well in the performances. So yeah, it's kind of like all the work we do together, we kind of describe it as like a Filipino futurism. So it taps into something really ancient. So often we use traditional instrumentation and then reframe it through contemporary electronic music. So yeah.
Fantastic. And Justin, you're also known by the pseudonym Phasma Hammer and founded Monster Gras, an alternative to Sydney's Mardi Gras Festival. What is the importance of creating diverse spaces for queer communities?
For sure.
Mm.
Phasma Hammer. So metal.
It's so good.
I've got to turn it into a metal t-shirt, right?
Oh my God, yes. I want one.
Yeah. Okay, merch. It's time. It's important. Well, really, Monster Gras came out of the Red Rattler Theatre.
Mm.
So me, my partner Matthew Steg, and our friend Penelope Benton, who was one of the original, I guess, like organisers and people who co-created the Red Rattler, were like, oh, let's do an event to... It wasn't seen as an alternative Mardi Gras. It was really kind of seen as a ball that came out of that space, but it occurred on that date.
Mm.
And it really evolved over time. So we did that for like 11 years. I guess like the Red Rattler came out because there was a lack of venues in Sydney and like, you know, places like Lanfranchi's and the old performance space, you know, that classic story of gentrification where, you know, like these finding a very malleable, fluid incubator space is not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Six queer women bought it and have been investing in it ever since, which is such a generous
Amazing.
Act.
Yeah.
And so I think for me and Maddie and Penelope, we wanted to create something pretty playful and anarchic, something that we weren't really seeing in mainstream Mardi Gras that also really showcased avant-garde performance that's started off locally and then it's kind of expanded to all over Australia and sometimes overseas artists as well. Monster is very playful, it's silly, it's anarchic and it's ugly and beautiful, it's all the things. So we kind of took a break, like actually 2020 was meant to be the last one.
Oh, really?
And we called it The Beginning is the End is the Beginning. And just like literally straight after we had the kind of beginnings of the pandemic. So it felt kind of like a bit of a premonition.
Mm.
But taking a year off made us realize how important it is to co-create another space. So there's like a new group of people thinking about what comes in the future. So, yeah.
Awesome. And what have you got coming up?
Coming up? Well, I've got Titan Arum at the gallery,
which
is going to be, if you'd like to come and see it, please pre-book. It's limited capacity. We're about to release the second season. So that kind of comes from now all the way up till September. I'm making a new work for Sydney Festival and that'll come out. Actually, it's going to take 2 years, lol.
Wow.
but also I'm just getting back into clubland work and I'm going to start putting on parties again. We used to do an event called Pink Bubble, which is like focused on queer electronic artists. So I'm going to be doing that again while we can, you know.
Awesome.
Like,
yeah.
So that's all the things. I'm trying not to work in the way I used to and to really, not that I kind of lost the pleasure in it a little bit and it's been really good to kind of re-engage. And actually that's such a big part of what we're doing at the gallery is a reinvestment in the craft practice and things that are joyous and hilarious and like just trusting your gut, because sometimes I think the more you can get into the art world, you can over analyze or you can kind of, you can definitely be consumed by that world in a way that can stifle your spirit. So that's why I've always been so into Clubland, because I feel like there's such a freedom there. Yeah. That's some of the many little seeds that are bursting out of me Yeah.
Incredible. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And Justin, it would be so great if you could please read out your poem from your Eon Dagger series for us today, live on air.
Here we go. Okay. I'm a spoken word artist now. Free-falling, they recall the past in order to imagine a future of infinite love possibility. Rhinekundan screws through oceanic malls. Bakunawa ride countercurrents all the way to the skyscraper, jaws of the horizon, also known as the edge. Future life forms abound vertically in the great continual unfolding. Sirens are sung by gentle Sisi Incanto. They dance atop the dry soil, stirring the bones. Ancient seedlings begin to arouse, kindled by the sound of promise. Clown botanists hoe and hump. They perspire in the climbing heat, in devotion to their harlequins, tending to beings not quite flora, fauna, or machine, simultaneously pollinator, parasite, and host. A boombox transmits an automatic call, feed, flight, fight, or fuck. Future beings kabloon, spored on the corpses of the previous world.